Set your course for the Huff
Takes Podcast.
Welcome to Huff Takes. I'm Eric Geller.
I'm Grace Seegers.
And I'm Haley Birdwell.
And Haley, it's so great to have you back. The Huff Takes family is whole again. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm just a little bit sleep deprived, but we're doing well.
Well, that's good to hear, and I feel like there's nothing better to talk about when you're sleep-deprived than Star Wars.
Right.
So for this episode, we decided to step back a little bit and talk about some aspects of the new direction that Disney is taking the franchise in. We're going to talk about Star Wars Visions. We're going to talk about what we've seen so far of the new Boba Fett series. We'll talk about some other upcoming projects, too. We figured we'd cover a few topics in one episode so we can look at where we stand right now with the franchise, and obviously we can revisit these topics in their own episodes in the future, but we wanted to check in on how things are going. Of course, the biggest new project, really the only new project that's come out recently, is Star Wars Visions. I have had a chance to see all the episodes. Grace, I think you have too, but Haley, it's my understanding that you have been busy with a few other things in your life. How far have you gotten with Visions at this point?
I made it through the fifth one. So I'm like about, I guess a little over halfway. So I'm qualified to share all kinds of opinions at this point.
Well, I think it would be interesting to compare how we felt about what we've seen so far and what we thought of this really bold experiment, I think, by Disney in adding a new type of property to the Star Wars franchise. Grace, I don't know if you have any kind of general thoughts about the show or if there are particular episodes that stood out to you, but how did you feel when you finished the last episode?
So I enjoyed it. I will say that my two favorite episodes came in the first five episodes. My favorites were the first episode, which the duel, I think, is what it's called. And then my second favorite was The Village Bride. But overall, I thought it was really interesting, really creative. I really liked how it told stories outside of the Skywalker saga and kind of expanded the universe in a way that we haven't seen before. I really liked the animation styles. And even the episodes that I didn't really like the story, I was still able to appreciate them as little mini works of art. And I think I was able to appreciate them because they were only like 14 minutes long, which, you know, makes it easier to appreciate something even when you don't like it. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I thought it was really good, really cool, and something I would like to see Star Wars do more of.
Yeah, I agree that it was, it showed what Star Wars can be when you think a little bit more outside the box. I will say my favorites were episode 3, which I think was The Twins.
Oh, I hated that episode.
Oh, so this is good. So we'll get into this a little bit. So and then I did like episode 4. It was kind of, I thought the first half was boring, but then it picked up. That was The Village Bride. And then I also liked The Ninth Jedi, which was the fifth episode. So I don't know if Haley, you said you got through the first five. So what did you think of them? And do you agree or disagree with me about The Twins?
Oh, I liked it. I liked this sort of alternate universe of Luke and Leia. I liked that. But
okay,
so
the vote is 2-1. The Twins was a good episode. Grace, I'm sorry.
But my favorite was probably the first one, just because the style was like so classic and like I just really enjoyed it. But my main takeaways, one thing I really enjoyed about this is you come in without like all of the baggage of here's decades of a story for this one character. You really get to start fresh of just like, you know, exploring something without stress. You know, on a shorter time scale and, you know, different settings and characters. And I think, you know, with some of these series TV shows that they have coming out, you can get sort of bogged down in like, you know, everything ties together. And especially with a huge corporation like Disney, it turns into everything is marketing for everything else.
Yeah.
As opposed to it like actually being a story. And I think, you know, second season of Mandalorian sort of fell into that trap several times just because they're like, you know, about to launch several other shows. And but what I liked about this, of course, was, you know, it's not that. It's, you know, it's just people enjoying Star Wars. My other thing that I liked about it is they clearly, like, are huge fans of lightsabers, which I know some people are like, oh, they broke all the rules of lightsabers. But, like, it's a very childlike approach to it. Like, kids are way into that. And just sort of, like, being imaginative with it, I think it's sort of fun.
Well, it was also, the lightsabers were a cool homage to Japanese culture a lot, like how they were taken out, like they were katanas. I think that was in the first episode where they're sheathed and then taken out like that was katanas. Cool. Like, that's really cool. And then, obviously, the Ninth Jedi is all about lightsabers, but lightsabers are dope. So, and also the Ninth Jedi, side note, had my favorite little mini sort of universe expanding moment, which was the droids drinking oil like tea.
Oh, I love the droids. I love the droids.
So clever, and just like a teeny tiny thing that made the universe feel even more real and lived in and creative. So loved that.
You know, Haley, I think you made such a great point about how you go into this without any baggage and how you don't know these people and you can kind of just live in the moment. It's interesting because I think, you know, this is a franchise, especially recently, where so many of the fans are people who have read all the Wikipedia articles and they know all the connections between all these characters. There are obviously a lot of people who are just coming in on a more casual level, but I think this is such an interesting project to introduce into Star Wars because you have nothing. You go in, you have no touchstones to hold on to. Obviously, there are things like lightsabers, but, you know, aside from lightsabers and occasional references to these bigger powers, you don't know anything about these people. You don't know how to think about who they are. You know, it's almost like you're scrambling to get a foothold on how you should feel about the story based on the context, and it just gives you nothing. And so you have to let go. You have to watch it with the kind of eye that certainly I don't have as a Star Wars fan. I haven't had for a while, and I think a lot of other Star Wars fans also haven't had for a while, which is that childlike innocence of not knowing anything, not knowing how you're supposed to feel, and just being overwhelmed by a story, by a narrative that is completely untethered from any of your expectations or any of what you've seen before.
Yeah, and actually, interestingly, that's kind of why I didn't like the twins, was, first of all, it's just really exposition heavy, which annoyed me. just a lot of explaining of crystals and stuff like that. But also, that episode felt like, to me, like you needed to have an understanding of, like, you couldn't go into it fresh, or at least that's how it felt like to me, because yes, it was taking place in an alternate universe, but very clearly modeled after Luke and Leia, and then also you had all this exposition, and it didn't feel like a story where you could watch it for 15 minutes and feel like you had watched something new. And then my second complaint with it was just something that's really very petty, but Star Wars is not really science fiction. It's fantasy that takes place in space, but at least for the most part, they pretend that space is a real thing that could kill you. Like, there are sops to wearing space suits when they're in space because, you know, space can kill you. And then in the twins, they just totally threw that out the window. They're just, you know, not wearing any suits, and their hair is all flying around in space while they're doing battles with the crystals. And I just couldn't get over it. I'm like, guys, please just pretend, like, for 5 seconds that, you know, space.
I have to watch these through the lens of the original Clone Wars series, which I think is best enjoyed as tall tales that are exaggerated in various ways, including sort of physics and biology, and if we want to take this example, that are exaggerated for dramatic effect. And I think that's especially feasible and compelling in the anime style of storytelling, because I don't know about you, but in general, I just don't think I'm an anime person. I think the style is just not for me. I actually didn't really like the style of the duel because it's just the way that the characters speak and the eye, you know, movements and just the size of people's faces and their eyes. It just, it felt very bizarre to me. It just did not, it
was
just a
bit. Which one is
that one? That's the first one.
Oh. I was like, and I'm like, that one's my favorite, and I don't even know what you're talking about.
It's popular. No, it's a popular episode.
It's my favorite. Well, I haven't watched a lot of classic Japanese films, but I watched Seven Samurai during maternity leave. And it's great. And
yeah,
like a lot of the style, you know, is similar to that. I don't know how much of that is original to that film. Probably not a lot, but, you know, that genre of film is... It really is reminiscent of that, but what I liked about it, I think you sort of lose some of the moral ambiguity in a lot of Star Wars, just because, you know, it's written, a lot of it was written for kids. This one is like, you have a Sith, former Sith, who's like hunting down Sith. It's great. Like, and just like, you know, you sort of see the fear in that kid's eyes when he leaves, and it's like, I don't know, I just think it was interesting. It was a cool premise.
I definitely like that part for sure. And it's funny because you mentioned being written for kids and not having that moral ambiguity. Grace, what do you think Haley will think when she gets around to watching episode 6 about the child robot?
Knowing what I know about Haley, which is that she is a very sweet and gentle soul, Haley will probably think it's adorable. That's like, I don't think it'll be your favorite, but I think you will think it's cute. Knowing what I know about you, it's just about a droid that's basically,
it's about a droid
boy
who wants to be, it's Pinocchio in Star
it's
Wars
Pinocchio no! for droids.
It's
so cute.
I'm sorry, I hated it. I'm sorry but I hated it.
I thought it was fine.
You know what I didn't like was the rock band.
I didn't really like that either.
It bothered me.
It was like a heartwarming story, but it was again just like, I don't know. Maybe I think the problem is that at the time I really watched it for the first time, I was still in that mode of like, I know what Star Wars is and this isn't Star Wars.
For me, that's just like the style of the music was so, I don't know, earth. Like it sort of took me out of, you know, these are supposed to be a totally different galaxy. Like, why have they evolved like the exact same, you know, culture here with rock?
It's funny what we suspend our disbelief for and what we don't.
Right.
Yeah. So true. Yeah, I thought that episode was fine. I didn't dislike it. I know a lot of people dislike it. I didn't like the music aspect of it. But what balanced it out for me was just what a silly little story it was. Like, we're so used to the kind of narrative of lost Padawans becoming these brooding heroes. Like you got that with Ahsoka and with Kanan from Rebels and with Cal Kestis from the video game. I don't, Jedi Fallen Order, is that it?
Yeah.
Yeah, so like, you know, Padawans who have had their whole lives destroyed and now they are in their own ways becoming Jedi, sort of without the Order. And that's a very kind of traditional story that we've gotten used to, and just having this guy, this kid, just be like, nah, I'm gonna turn my lightsaber into a microphone and start a rock band. Like, that's dope. I like that. It's just a silly little subversion of that trope.
It's funny because I did keep expecting him to do the like, I'm secretly a Jedi and I'm gonna save you all. Like, I kept expecting a normal sort of Star Wars-y twist.
Yeah, and there wasn't one. And so even though I didn't really like this episode, I appreciated it because it subverted that trope. And again, was only like 14 minutes. So, you know, not too much of my time.
Is the one that we all agree is in our top three, is the Village Bride on all of our lists?
Yeah, I liked that
one. Yeah, I like that one a lot.
I think that's a great example of something that it has those anime elements. It has that feel to it. But it really doesn't stray too far from kind of what we think of as the feel of Star Wars.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And plus, you know, you got the gold lightsaber and the cool high heels. So a lot of fun kind of wow gee whiz that you get from watching Star Wars and what makes Star Wars so fun. Having those elements as well as kind of a classic story, as well as kind of fitting into that anime paradigm as well. I thought it was just overall a very well done episode incorporating all of those elements. But I'm interested, Haley, what you thought, given that this is, you've only seen 5 episodes. I would be interested to hear how you think about this episode compared to the other ones you've seen.
The Village Bride one?
Yeah.
I liked the the art, and like it feels like it was more colorful than some of them, but like maybe I watched all of these at like 1 a.m. like totally sleep deprived with a baby. So like honestly I can't remember it super well, but I do remember enjoying it. And I think I spoke to you about, we have tried to schedule this episode so many times, and so I've been stuck on this, the one episode, the fifth one, for like 2 months trying to watch it. But you told me that your favorite was the fifth one, and in my mind I think I was still on the fourth one, and for some reason I had translated that to your favorite was the fourth one, and I was like, oh, and when I watched it I was like, oh, this makes sense, it's great. But I don't have any very deep observations on that one. I liked her haircut. I thought it was cute.
Yeah.
And she had a cool cape, right? Or was it just like a typical, yeah. No, I liked the, I don't know, just unique cultures and different setting of it. You know, that one thing I think we could talk about some is, you know, the when the stakes are so high for a story versus, you know, it's, you're not grappling with the galactic government. You're not, you know, at the highest stakes. But you're sort of like examining people's lives. And I think that's one thing Star Wars has not done well, is they don't really get into like the everyday person's life in Star Wars. And they sort of do when Anakin's a kid. But I mean, most of these stories escalate into like, this is life or death, like the end of the Republic. This is, you know, the giant clash between good and evil. And, you know, I think people like Rian Johnson, he's working on this, I think, a trilogy, and he sort of strikes me as the kind of guy who's going to, like, I don't know, try to get into that aspect more of just, like, everyday people and not, you know, the leaders of either, you know, sect or faction, you know, fighting for political power. Yeah, Broom Boy. So I think, you know, that they sort of got into that some with this series, but I'm looking forward to more of that just because I think there's so many like world building things that they can do with that.
I think that Disney especially has found a formula for Star Wars, and that formula really doesn't, you know, if for no other reason than marketing and cutting a trailer, it's very hard to make the lives of the average people in the galaxy interesting enough to draw in a mainstream audience. However, I think Star Wars can look to Star Trek here as a model, because Star Trek has had great success in the past few years with Lower Decks, which is a brilliant show that I recommend anybody watch if they have even a passing interest in Star Trek. It's hilarious. And it's about the crew members who are working on the Lower Decks out of sight of the bridge crew. And that is a perfect way. It's an animated comedy. And I think Star Wars needs something like that. We all remember Star Wars Detours. Thank God it died a noble death when Disney took over. We need an animated comedy that is smart and that does that kind of thing of focusing on the underappreciated people. We Detours was very different. So when I say animated comedy, I don't want people thinking about that. We need something that's kind of getting at what Haley is talking about, which is the fact that all this stuff that we're paying attention to in the movies and on the live action TV shows, you know, that affects other people, and it can be interesting to watch how it affects them. So I would put in a plug for a show like that.
My favorite part about Visions was exactly what Haley was talking about with the very localized storytelling. And so my favorite episodes were pretty contained, like the first episode, The Duel, The Village Bride, And then I think it's the sixth or seventh episode, The Elder, was also one of my favorites, and also maybe contributed to why I didn't like the twins as much, because my favorite episodes were the ones that were telling these self-contained stories that were very locally focused and not having these huge galactic stakes. And Haley, I think you made a really good point about Rian Johnson doing that, because my favorite parts of The Last Jedi, which is a controversial film, but my favorite parts were, you know, Broom Boy and things that were focused on that smaller scale. And I think even to segue a little bit, that Book of Boba Fett has the potential to do this too, where if it doesn't do too much tying in and franchising, but stays more focused on the local, I'm just a man making his way through the galaxy story of it, I think that has the potential to be more contained and keeping it more grounded in a way that Star Wars has been sorely lacking in recent years.
I would love to talk more about Boba Fett, because I think, you know, that the teaser trailer hints at where they're going, but we obviously, if the Mandalorian and Bad Batch have taught us anything, we really don't know what's coming next. Yeah, let's get into that a little bit. They have a really interesting task here, because Grace, as you said, they can use this show as a vehicle to explore, you know, the criminal underworld, the effect of, you know, the lawlessness of the New Republic era on regular people. They've obviously got Tim Morrison as Boba Fett, so they've got a beloved lead character there that they can make this a personal journey for him. They could also, again, surprise us. There could be a twist. You know, in the comics right now, Crimson Dawn from Solo is back, and that's obviously set earlier. But if they stick around, they could end up being part of this show, and that's obviously could be a way to bring back Emilia Clarke as Kira. So that would be interesting as a twist as well. But we don't know. We really don't know what's coming next. Grace, what would you like to see, and where do you think it could be going based on the trailer?
Well, first of all, I have to say, like, I would watch anything with Ming-Na Wen. I am a huge fan of hers. She is so cool. I want to be her when I grow up. She's like over 50, and she's so beautiful and badass, and I really love her. Sorry, I got slightly sidetracked thinking about how much I love her. But anyway, I will watch anything with her in it, and I am very much hoping that they keep her in a leading role, because she's the coolest. And I think what I would like to see from it is, like I said, just staying more grounded. Something that looked cool from the trailer was that it looked like it had some good special effects that weren't just entirely CGI, but it looked like it would have some of that old Star Wars charm of just kind of feeling thrown together. And I mean, obviously with very good production value now, because this is Disney and this is not 1977, but I think that they, if they do it right, they have real potential to make it feel like fun and campy and not necessarily feeding into this larger universe, but just keeping it local. And that's what I would like to see. I don't want to see another franchisey type story, which, although I really enjoy The Mandalorian, it has become that in season two, as Haley mentioned. And I'm sure that there, of course, are going to be tie-ins to other shows and movies, but in my ideal world, I would keep those to a minimum and just focus on the small story of Boba Fett becoming the kingpin he was always meant to be.
Did either of y'all watch Loki?
Yes.
Okay, so I loved the first, like, I don't know, most of the series. But I feel like this is the most egregious offender of what I'm talking about here, where they use the show for like a, like, to lead into whatever other thing they're working on. Like if it was a story about Loki, which is what it's supposed to be, it would not end on here's the next big phase of the MCU.
Right.
Here's the, it would have been like another Loki as the big bad guy. Like that's naturally where the story should have gone. And I'm still mad about it. It just like, it cheapens the storytelling when you like take something and you spend all this money on it, and you use it just to like promote other stuff. Which I mean, it's, I feel like Marvel's worse about it than Star Wars, but and it's sort of ironic because we're talking about Boba Fett. We're really excited about it. Like, you know, Mandalorian season 2 was, you know, part of that was, you know, marketing for Boba Fett. And like, you know, my favorite episode was the one where he was just like, I mean, like the action scene, I think it was episode 6, where they're on that planet and like baby Yoda's trying to find a Jedi and like there's boulders flying. And
yeah.
It's such a good episode. That's what I would like to see from the new series. That kind of thing. But it, so like when I saw the trailer, I wasn't as excited. Like I want like, you know, that kind of thing constantly instead of pay us the money and give us the spice or whatever.
100%, 150% agree with everything you just said and what was I was trying to say, but less clearly.
Well, I think the interesting question for them is how do they thread the needle of giving people that personal exploration of who Boba Fett is at this point and what his goals are with big scope and action,
yeah,
and big fight scenes and all that stuff. Are they going to stay on Tatooine, or are we just meant to think that? And then the twist is that he's got bigger ambitions or, you know, something like that.
Yeah.
I think something that could be a good model here, actually, is Rebels, which is an animated show. But something that Rebels did really well was keeping it a smaller and more contained story while at the same time having the tie-ins to the larger conflict. Like, I mean, Darth Vader shows up, which is pretty big tie-in to the larger story, but it never felt like Rebels was trying to sell me on other things. And that might have been because it came out in 2016 to like 2018, so there weren't as many Star Wars things to try to sell me on. But I think it did a really good job of threading that needle of telling a story about a specific group of people while also showing how it existed within the larger story. And I think that that's a model that Book of Boba Fett could perhaps follow, where if it does stay focused on Boba Fett, as it should, and Fennec, ideally, but then also occasionally if a character, like if the Mandalorian shows up, I don't want to be mad that the Mandalorian shows up, like, and they're just trying to sell me on Mandalorian season 3. Like, I want it to be a cool, genuine tie-in.
You know, one thing you mentioned about Rebels doing this well, where it, you know, they sort of hit the best of both worlds, where you have, obviously the stakes get very high. But like, I think of all the Star Wars stories, like, Ezra, I think, is the most attached to his home. He wants to save his planet. Like, he's trying to save his home versus the entire galaxy, and like the galaxy comes along with it, you know. But it gives you sort of a sense of place that I think is absent in a lot of Star Wars. You just, you know, you hop into your ship and you go to whatever planet you're going to. Whereas you have a lot of those emotional connections of, you know, this is where I'm from. This, I want to see this place free from the Empire. And it gives you sort of like a sense of constancy. And it just, you know, I think that aspect of it really helped thread that needle of, you know, it feels like you're sort of part of a smaller journey, but you're also clearly, they get into a lot of bigger picture things as well.
Haley, I missed you.
Haley, your contributions are invaluable, and I did not realize how much was missing when you were not here. So thank you for coming back.
You were welcome.
I think what we're talking about here really is the difference between, you know, cameos and tie-ins, right? So when Darth Vader shows up in Rebels, it's not a tie-in because there's no Darth Vader project that they're promoting. I mean, he's just Darth freaking Vader. And so he, when you bring him in, as Gray said, it adds weight and it feels sufficiently bigger than the normal scope of the show. but it doesn't feel like it doesn't feel weird. It's not like, why is this character here? Oh, they're doing a show about that character, so they're bringing him in as a tie-in. Oh, that's not really part of the show. You know, it's not part of the show, but in a good way, in a way that makes you feel like the show's being expanded. What we saw with season 2 of The Mandalorian is a little bit of the other thing, which is, this is not something that we're used to. Oh, it's because they're doing this other thing and they're setting it up. And to this point of, you know, Boba Fett has the opportunity to break away from that. I don't know if you remember this, but apparently when they announced a bunch of the new Star Wars shows, including Ahsoka, Kathy Kennedy said that they were, several of them were going to tie into a crossover event between Mandalorian, Boba Fett, Ahsoka, and then this other new show, which I think most people have forgotten about, Rangers of the New Republic, which I think everybody thought was going to be about Cara Dune before she pieced the heck out. So there's these four shows. They're going to have some kind of crossover event. And the question is, do we see a little bit more of what we're seeing right now and what we have seen with Marvel? Does Star Wars become more like Marvel as they build toward this crossover? Or can they keep these shows operating on enough on their own tracks that you don't feel like you're watching one giant marketing tie-in?
It reminds me, honestly, I mean, first of all, it reminds me of the meme about Avengers of Infinity War that was like world's most ambitious crossover. But then it secondarily reminds me of something that Haley may remember.
Is it the Jimmy Neutron and what's it called? The Fairly Odd Parents crossover?
Yeah. I was going to say the Jimmy Neutron, Fairly Odd Parents, and when Disney Channel did the That's So Sweet Life of Hannah Montana, which was
Raven,
Sweet Life of Zack and Cody and Hannah Montana.
Wait. You're telling me that Jimmy Neutron and Fairly Odd Parents had a crossover?
Yes, and it was great. It was weird as hell.
Wow. Okay, now that checks out.
I was a big Jimmy Neutron fan as a kid.
That checks out. But the reason that was weird was because they switched the animation style for each of them. So you saw Fairly Odd Parents and Jimmy Neutron animation and vice versa.
Okay, that's fun. I'm here for that.
Slight digression. But like, it was just very fun and gimmicky. But also I was like 9. So or however old I was. It was the aughts. If it's done well, that could be good, but also it's like a gimmick, and I don't know how I feel about that.
Yeah, I don't know. I try to give Lucasfilm the benefit of the doubt on a lot of this and say, like, look, they've done, you know, the two shows that they've made in the Disney era have both had an interesting twist that made things worth watching, even if you weren't sold on the premise as marketed. And so hopefully that will happen again. Hopefully this will go in a direction that we don't expect. And hopefully that will also be true with the other shows. But yeah, I don't know. It's going to be tough for them to tie all these in a way that feels organic, especially because, look, folks, they don't have a lot of time. I mean, each of these shows is going to be 8 episodes a season. And it's not even clear if things like Rangers of the New Republic and Ahsoka are going to get multiple seasons. So I don't know. Does that time constraint worry you in terms of how they're going to have to work all this in?
I don't really have an opinion on the timing constraint per se, in that it is just a part of my larger complaint of worrying about how they could tie it in an organic manner. And if you do have only so many episodes and you're like, well, we have to get this Ahsoka cameo in before the end of our 8 episodes, it makes the risk of it being even more awkward. And this kind of brings me to a question I had for both of you, which is, how do we feel in general about all of these new Star Wars projects? Because I'm a really big Star Wars fan, as we know. Clearly, I am a co-host of a Star Wars podcast. This would not be the case if I didn't feel very passionately about Star Wars. But at the same time, I feel like the market's getting a bit oversaturated, and it's kind of like Marvel where, you know, there's potential for these things to be good. Like Haley, I thought the Loki show was good up until the very end. And, you know, there's potential for it to be good. I think The Mandalorian is good. But at what point do we just reach too many Star Wars shows? I don't know. And I wondered what you guys thought about that.
Well, I will say I'm not worried only because like 80% of these things keep getting pushed back. And we just we heard about them once at the Disney Day, you know, presentation in last year, and we're probably not going to hear about them for another 3 years. I mean, folks might have seen that the Rogue Squadron movie was reportedly going to be delayed because Patty Jenkins could not get time in her schedule to work on it in time. And so I think a lot of this stuff, it's going to shift around. But even if it were to stick to its original schedule, they've already spaced these things out. And so it's not as if we're going to have multiple things concurrent. And it's also not like we're going to have multiple things close to each other. I mean, the Marvel shows, you know, the ones that we've been talking about, they've been pretty close together in a way that I just don't think is possible for Star Wars, because I think a lot of these shows I think the crew is going to be the same on a lot of them. And especially when you're talking about ILM, when you're talking about Skywalker Sound, the people who do a lot of that work to make the shows look and feel like Star Wars, there's only so much that those people can do at one time. I don't know the Marvel situation. I don't know if that's true with Marvel as well, but they certainly are not indicating that with their timetables. I mean, all the shows that came out almost back to back, especially last year and early this year, that does not look like a kind of timetable that I can imagine for Star Wars. So I'm not too worried about that, but I don't know. That's just me.
I think for me, it's like, I'd rather just have some, like Rebels, you got a lot of it. I feel like the seasons weren't just 8 episodes long, right?
Yeah, they were right. Like it was 16 episodes. Or
and 16, I don't know if that's 22. Just a production thing. Like, it's a lot easier to do, make that quicker or less expensive or something. But I wish the Ahsoka show were animated.
Yes.
Just like physically, there's a ton of constraints just with the costume. And I know people were like, oh, her little like antenna thingies, what, Leku, aren't long enough.
Leku.
And, which I don't really care about, but it's still like I at least grew up watching this as a kid on in the form of cartoons, and you know, for me it's like, oh, they would have a lot more space to do the storytelling if they're really going to tie all these things together, if they weren't constraining it to 8 episodes each for like 4 different shows that are all going to tie in together at some point. Or they could just do a movie about this, like the search for Ezra or whatever. I sort of would prefer it that way. I feel like it would be like less, I don't know, annoying to watch.
Yeah, I'm still mad about the Ahsoka series not being animated. I try not to dwell on it too much because clearly there is nothing that we can do about it. But I'm so annoyed about it. It should be animated. Whatever.
It's really interesting how, as we get into this era of, you know, prestige television and all that stuff, with the streaming services and the, you know, immense production values, we're getting to these, like, you know, seasons are shorter and shorter, right? Am I crazy, or was Loki like 6 episodes?
It was 6 episodes. All 3 of the Marvel shows were 6 episodes.
So this is to me a worrisome development, because the potential for errors is much higher. The impact of the errors is much higher. It just doesn't seem like the smartest way to, especially if your goal is not just to like produce good television, but to like build a large universe where everything's interconnected. It doesn't seem to me that like that is the smartest strategy, because the payoff, if it works, it's cost effective and that's great. But if you make a mistake, you know, that's like 1/6 of the entire season, or God forbid 1/3 of the entire season if it's bad in 2 episodes. And I don't know, it just seems risky to me. And I looked up, you know, Rebels was in seasons 2 and 3 anyway, 20 episodes each, and Clone Wars I think was 22 episodes for almost all the seasons. So this is obviously, with animation, it's you know, the costs are different and everything, but it allows the story to breathe a little bit more. And I think my one consistent critique of The Mandalorian, and I'm sure this is going to be true with Boba Fett and other shows, is, you know, when you're waiting so long for each show, and then you're waiting week to week for each episode, and you only get like 10 episodes or 8, and some of them are pretty like plodding and slow, that is just a tough sell in terms of like money well spent. Like, I don't know, if I were Disney with unlimited money, I might look into spending a little bit more and making bigger seasons where I can tell more expansive stories. That's just me. I don't know. Yeah. That's this disgruntled Star Wars fan saying it doesn't make sense. Like, you're not operating on a budget here. Like,
you're Disney.
Right. And by the way, you know, these 8-episode seasons or 10 episodes, some of the episodes are like 30 minutes.
It's ridiculous.
And it's like, what are you doing over there that you can't make normal television that's like a 42-minute? I mean, you don't even have to do 42 minutes. You don't have commercials. So it's like, what am I paying you people for? I'm sorry. I'll get off my soapbox.
When you were talking about the 10-episode thing, it reminded me of Lost, the TV show, which my boyfriend and I watched rather recently.
I'm watching it right now with my girlfriend.
So good. Love it. But the first season is 24 episodes.
Oh, well, so I would argue that in terms of just the raw amount of content, that was peak TV. Like, yes. 24 was like the same thing. Like, I mean, I think Gilmore Girls was also, you know, I mean, yeah, these are hour-long shows, 22 to 24 episodes per season. That's a lot of television.
Y'all, I have a total side plot here. I'm so tired of, I feel like Star Wars never does any romance. Mm. And they never, like, and I don't know if that's, especially in the sequel, I think we talked about this before, is like in the sequel trilogy, they just don't get into that. And I feel like they're just afraid to. But it's like, that's not good storytelling. That's not how people, like, behave in real life. I feel like all these shows are, like, going to be so sterile emotionally.
That's really interesting, because that's also a common critique of Marvel. And, I mean, they're both under the Disney umbrella now. And I think that is a real critique. Like, say what you will about the prequel series and episode 2. But, like, there was romance there. And destructive, creepy romance, but hey, it was there.
That's sort of like saying, say what you will about that oil spill, but there was excitement. people were getting really excited. There was drama.
Say what you will about Hannibal Lecter, he made some great meals. Just the
man was hungry. There was a lot of food porn in that movie.
Yeah,
you know, beautiful now that I'm thinking about it, Kanan and Hera, again going back to Rebels, is great. I mean, they're sort of in the romance background, because it's like a kid's show, but it's like, it's still there, at least.
Is that the longest running, like, healthy relationship in Star Wars?
I think so.
It might be.
I was just thinking about this when you mentioned romance. Like, they actually have a very good, healthy romance, which is good that is modeled for children. And also shows, like, it's possible to have that in the background and have a healthy, functioning relationship in the background while not being the focus of the story. So they can do it. It's just they choose not to lately.
Yeah, I really don't get it. And it frankly doesn't seem like it's going to be changing anytime soon, because the shows that we've got coming up, I mean, Boba Fett, I mean, maybe there's something going on between Tem Morrison and Ming-Na Wen. I don't know. But, you know, Andor, not totally convinced that they're going to make romance a central part of that. The Obi-Wan show, sorry, I don't think it's going to happen. Ahsoka, maybe we'll see Lux Bonteri come. Well, no. I don't know. I just.
Absolutely
so actually,
not.
So let me suggest something. God, there's so many projects out there. But the one show where I think we might see something like this, albeit probably not long term, is the Lando show.
Wait, that's a thing? Was a Lando show.
Yeah, you and everybody else. So this was one of those things that was announced last December. I'm on the Wikipedia page for it. It doesn't say anything about whether Donald Glover is coming back. How can you not have Donald Glover play Lando again when he can still very much play Lando? But yeah, this is coming. It's coming to Disney Plus sometime soon. And if there's one thing we know about Lando, it's that he's a smooth man.
That's true. You know, part of that though is like, I don't know, almost transactional or just like not deep relationships.
Which, for sure.
It's very, you know, our modern society has a lot of that, but I don't know. Like, Han and Leia was a sweet romance.
Until they ruined it in the sequels.
Right, right. There's just not a lot of that, like, there's a lot of friendship. There's a lot of I like you as a person and like, you know, the Mandalorian and the Baby Yoda is very much father-son.
Finn and Poe?
You know, Finn and Poe, strong relationship. So... I don't know. I would like to see more than if Lando gets into that. I would love to see sort of a subversion of that in terms of him maybe meeting someone who's more than just like a brief thing. But that's, you know, that's just the very traditionalist in me saying that.
My main takeaway from this whole conversation is that I kind of want to rewatch Rebels now. I've just talked it up so much this episode, and I'm like, hey, you know what? That's a good show. Maybe I should just go back and rewatch that instead of all these new things, in addition to all these new things. But that was a good one.
I feel like there's never a bad time for a Star Wars Rebels rewatch. All right, well, we're going to call it there. Thanks, everyone, so much for listening. If you want to share your thoughts about this episode or suggest topics for future shows, you can email us at hothtakes@gmail.com or find us on Twitter at hothtakes. I'm at Eric Geller on Twitter. Grace is at Grace_Seegers. Haley is at Burdenator. Haley made our wonderful logo and banner art, and I edited the show and put together our music, although for legal purposes, we do want to point out that all Star Wars themes and sound effects are the intellectual property of Lucasfilm. You can find a complete archive of past episodes on our website. That's hothtakes.wordpress.com. And if you like the show, please share it with a friend or family member. You can find Hoth Takes on all the major podcasting platforms. That's iTunes, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, everywhere else. We're excited to be back. Haley, we're excited to have you back. And to our listeners, we'll see you next time. May the Force be with you.